Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, September 7th, 2017. With me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Hi.
Well, now I know it's a party.
It's a party.
And now that we've established it's a party, John Martellaro in the house.
I am here. I'd be happy to make it a party too.
There you go. And I'm thinking all of a sudden maybe it's not too early to start drinking today.
Yeah, you just better get started on that right now.
It's my coping mechanism. Anyhow, hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is care.com, and they are the people that help you find the services that you need for in-home care for the seniors and other loved ones in your life. So that's pretty cool. We'll talk about them in a bit. But before we get to that, it looks like it is Apple hiring spree time again. And this time, it's more people that are going to be handling original content for Apple Music. So also, Sony probably has a much slimmer payroll now than they used to, because that's where Apple seems to be going for their hires. So three new people hired from Sony Pictures Television. We have Kim Rosenfeld, and she's former vice president of, former head of current programming. There we go. The former vice president of drama development, Max Aronson, and former director of creative affairs, Ali Woodruff. Plus another person from WGN America, Rita Cooper Lee. She was their publicity head, and she'll be doing the same at Apple. She's going to be reporting to Tom Neumeier. So anyhow, we have these four new hires for Apple's original content, and they're all...
Can I just get this out of the way right now? Right up front. me, Bollywood. That's all I'm saying.
I'm kind of liking that, Brian.
Still, we got your Hollywood, we got your Bollywood. Now we're gonna have your Valleywood.
Yeah,
I said volley. Did I say volley the first time? I messed up my whole thing.
I know you did, and I was waiting for you to get through it, and then I was going to correct you because
Valleywood
is that otherwise known as Silicon Valley instead of Silicon Valley.
Oh, goodness gracious.
No, John. No.
It's not.
Oh, okay.
It's just Valleywood.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I've been looking closely at these job descriptions, and these look like people who are reporting to the big guys that they brought in previously. And my guess is that Tim Cook told the big guys, bring in the best people that you know in the industry to work for you. Go get them. And here's how much money you have to pay them. Which is a blank check. And so they went out and got the people they wanted from Sony and other places.
Yeah, it's probably a really good time to be in entertainment right about now.
Oh, yeah.
With all the money from Amazon, mm-hmm, and Hulu and Netflix, and now a little company called Apple happens to have a little bit more money than everybody else.
Yeah, just a wee bit more.
Yeah.
Well, money, you know, of course, lots of money always solves problems in quality content, right? It's a no-brainer. If you have lots of money, your content's going to be great, right? Right? As Rachel Maddow says, right? Right?
I love it when you're all hyped up like this. Yeah, I'm thinking it's also a good time to be friends with Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Van Amberg. Because those are the two programming vice presidents from Sony Pictures Television that Apple hired. So these are the guys that are going out and finding who they want and bringing them on board. So I'm expecting concerns that some people have. And this is actually a concern that Jeff Butts voiced yesterday, that Apple is going to continue to produce okay at best shows. I don't think that's a concern that we really need to have, although these people need to prove it. But considering their track records, I think it's a pretty safe bet. We're going to see some pretty impressive programming under the Apple Music label.
So speaking of impressive programming, I want to get something on my chest.
Okay.
There's quality programming that you can spot that has all the hallmarks of really great direction and great writing. And sometimes those kinds of shows delve into, you know, the normal course of violence and action and activity that makes for tension and good quality writing. And one of those shows is the Netflix series called Longmire, where it's really, really well done. But, you know, bad things happen to good people and the bad people too. And there are shows that are sort of in the middle of that spectrum, but that recognizes high quality writing that are really good, but might be uneasy for some people to watch, like Jessica Jones. Then there are shows that are really high quality that, you know, don't have any violence at all, you know, or it's suppressed, or not suppressed, but maybe just glossed over. Things like some of the British BBC series like Foyle's War and Murdoch Mysteries. So there's a spectrum there. And what's going to be interesting for me to watch is where Apple lands in that spectrum. This going after the James Bond series is interesting because James Bond is comic book violence. In a sense, it's been brought into realism by virtue of, in my perception, by the Bourne series. It sort of shook the Bond franchise by the shoulders and said, you know, this is how you really do it, because the Bond movies were getting kind of silly. But, you know, there's a level of socially acceptable violence when you can make it really, really good in every other respect. And my question for Apple is, how well are they going to land in this spectrum? Are they going to be just doing what everybody else does in order for the numbers to work and to look, make it look like they're doing well? Or are they going to go after what we would consider to be the really high quality side of the spectrum?
Oh my God. Are you, dude, like, you're just, get up off your pedestal, man.
Get off your
throne.
That's what I do. We agreed before the show that you were going to take the opposite side. So I'm ready for you, Brian. Bring it on.
What are you talking about with, I mean, like Apple is supposed to, like,
yes.
No, that's ridiculous.
Be a cut above, be socially responsible. Look at Tim Cook's issues and responsibility. Why should Apple drop into the gutter of all the other?
All right, let me counter with what is necessarily in the gutter. I mean, like you've picked violent franchises that you're okay with because you like them, and then but these other violent franchises, these other violent properties are somehow in the gutter. That's ridiculous.
Find a spectrum and said, where is Apple going to land in this? I didn't pick any particular sides on this. I just said people will be tuned into this.
You were making your sides loud and clear, man. There is a huge.
Are you at a loss for words?
Well, yeah. Only in that I'm a bit apoplectic here.
Good.
I think it is a mistake to project one's own values as some sort of objective truth when it comes to something like content.
I'm telling you, we expect a lot from Apple. Apple spent 30 years telling us that you should expect a lot from us in quality and in character and in content of what we do. Apple is all about appearances.
Did you see Planet of the Apps?
Well, yeah, I know. And Michael Gartenberg and I discussed it at length in the last Background Mode. It's terrible. He gave it an F.
And rightly so.
And so Apple said, well, we need to get some real serious talent in here. Why? And brought some really heavyweights in. So what are these heavyweights going to do? Are they going to step it up? Are they going to make Tim Cook happy with the character and the quality of what they produce, or is it just going to be
okay? Well, there's a difference between talking about the quality of the programming and talking about some sort of objective point on the spectrum that is acceptable in terms of violence. Anything above that would be okay, and anything below that is somehow in the gutter.
I didn't say I was setting a standard. I said that there is a spectrum, and it'll be interesting to see where Apple lands.
It sounds though like there's a part of the spectrum you would prefer Apple to be in. And that would be the less violent.
I applied it. And that's what's got my gamers.
Well, I covered my bases when I said that there is some very high quality shows that have violence in them as a part, natural part of the show for tension and action appeal. The question is how disgusting or how well integrated or how high quality that aspect is, whether it's all the sole source or whether it's a subdued and essential part of the show.
If Apple has any wisdom here, they'll take the Netflix model where they're covering a wide range of content. Some of it's going to be
Netflix doesn't have they're a distributor. They distribute studio content. Mm-hmm. Right? So they don't have to.
No, they're making their own content. I'm talking about their own original content. Their own original content, it covers a broad spectrum of the things that you're talking about. And that is a pretty good model for Apple to follow.
And I have noticed that a lot of the stuff on Netflix is not very well done. I mean, I don't think it's particularly high quality.
Not everything that Netflix is putting under their own label is stuff that they are making themselves. So that, you know, they get things from different studios. And so, of course, there would be different levels of quality. And this is all subjective too, because I'm sure there's some shows that you've watched that you think are low quality, but other people are looking at and thinking, holy crap, best thing ever. And that's okay. And I think that plays into what Brian was saying, which is Netflix is playing to a broader audience with a wider spectrum of shows and show content.
Well, what I'm saying is that it's interesting to see what Apple is going after. Are they modeling themselves after others to just do the same old thing? In which case, what's the value added and why do it? Is it just a money grab going after the lowest common denominator to be a Me Too company that competes with all the other stuff? And, you know, develops a broad spectrum so that they can go after people who like to watch real bad stuff and crap. You know, what's Apple's motivation here? Is it to make money? Is it to be well known for what they do? I mean, I'm just curious to see how this all plays out. I'm asking questions. I don't have the answers.
So the answer to your question, and we talked about this yesterday on the Apple Context Machine behind your back, is that the reason why Apple has an interest in this video content in the first place is because of that thing that Phil Schiller talked about, which is Apple being where we live our lives, being at the center of where we live our lives. And people watch video content. And it's important for Apple's platform for people to be able to watch video content. And what Apple does not want to have happen is for another company to be able to hold it hostage. And I'm looking at Amazon there. So if Apple can get eyeballs to its devices based on its own product, based on its own video content, its own original video content, the other video content providers will have no choice but to make sure that they also play on Apple's hardware. This is a long term negotiation tactic for Apple.
I understand that. I think I've even mentioned that in one of my particle debris. Yeah, I understand that, and that's a good thing for Apple to do.
All right, so John, my take on where Apple is headed with original content, they are going to produce some shows that you look at and say, yes, this is what I expected from Apple. And they will produce some shows where you look at it and say, why are they just dropping to the lowest common denominator? And you'll be disappointed. And that's okay, because that tells me that they are looking for a wide range of tastes, and they're looking to draw in as many people as they can, and just hopefully this will be quality programming and not more Planet of the Apps.
Well, that'll be the temptation, of course. As Brian just described, if the intention is to make life difficult for the competition, then they'll have to play the same old game. And I'm
well. Right, you know, now, the same old game is make really good, really compelling shows. So if that's the same old game they're playing, bring it on.
Well, I'll have to admit the quality of the content that's being created by these new generation of higher quality original content on Amazon and Netflix is better than what's on network. That's for sure.
Yep, there you go.
So as Brian says, it's what, the new age of television? Is that the term you use?
The new golden age of television.
New golden age. Yep, it is.
All right. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Care.com. And what they do is help you take care of what can be an absolutely overwhelming problem, which is how to find the in-home care that you want for the seniors and loved ones in your life. And as an example, I have recently found myself in a position where I'm having to look at more in-home care for some of my family members. And it's not the sort of thing that even if you expect it might be coming at some point, you can really be prepared for ahead of time, unless you have someone that has your back, like Care.com. So they, what they do is they can help you get the in-home care that someone may need, have them help with errands, be there as a companion, you know, handle housekeeping, just the different things that someone needs so that they can stay at home instead of have to go into an assisted living center where they may not want to be. And it turns out that that most people that are in a situation where you're having to consider putting them into some sort of assisted living center, they don't want that. They would prefer to be at home. And if you're at home, then you feel more comfortable. And if you have the people that can help you out, well, then that's great. So that's what Care.com wants to help you do. So they can find the help that your parents or your other loved ones need so that they can remain a dependent and at home. They can help you find that the personalized care that they need so they're getting exactly what they want. And once again, they get to stay in the comfort of their own home. And then they can also help you save money, because the amount of money that you spend to put someone into an assisted living center is probably about double what you're going to pay to have a quality in-home senior caregiver that's coming in and helping out. So this is the sort of stuff that Care.com wants to help you with. Here's what you guys need to do. Head over to their website, care.com/TDO. When you go to that website, you can check out the services, and I like how they've done such a great job of making it very clear what it is that they can help you with. And care.com/TDO, when you go to that site, not only can you check out the services that they have before it becomes more of an exigent circumstance and get prepared ahead of time, you're also going to get to save 30% off of a premium membership. So go check it out, care.com/TDO. Thank you to Care.com for being our sponsor today. All right, so before we wrap up, John, you were talking a little bit before the show about spam callers and issues that you were having. And so I thought we could talk about that real quick, and then I can help you and other people understand how you can use the spam call filtering that's built into iOS 10.
Here's what happens to me. My wife and I both have iPhones, and we noticed that spam calls would come in from out of state at numbers that we didn't recognize or that our contacts list in the iPhone system didn't recognize. So it would come up somewhere in Arizona or Michigan or some place that we didn't think we had any contacts. And we would maybe answer, maybe let it roll to voicemail. And we discovered after time that these kinds of numbers were spam calls, and we ignored them. But recently, here in Colorado, there's been perhaps an influx of caller ID spoofing. And for those not familiar with it, what happens is that they will take the number that they're calling, process it through their software, and they will spoof the caller ID so that it has the same area code as you do, and it has the same prefix, the first three numbers of your telephone number, as you do. And so it looks like somebody in your neighborhood, somebody who's very close to you in that telephone calling region of the caller of the area code and the prefix. Mm-hmm. And so you may suspect that it's a friend or a doctor or some merchant in your area trying to contact you. And then you answer and you find out that it is a robocall. So then it got me thinking about how to deal with this. And at first, I started going into the iPhone caller system, and there's an option, a little eye with a circle around it, and you can select it for that number and say, block this caller. But after talking to you guys, I realized that what you're doing is you're blocking the spoofed number. Mm-hmm. And if a friend or a legit business in your neighborhood is trying to contact you, you will have blocked that number unintentionally. So now it's got me thinking about how to deal with this. And you told me about an article that you had written and a video you had done about some resources to deal with this. And so it's something I'm digging into. And I'm also curious about legislation. There may well be pending legislation to stop this, although right now caller ID spoofing is legal in the United States unless it's done with certain kinds of illegal intent to defraud or so on. But so I'm looking into the state of legislation as well. And I'm also looking into technical solutions that might assist people who are being victimized by caller ID spoofing.
All right. Well, here's my advice, John. Instead of just blocking the caller, because if it turns out it's actually a number that you want to have access to when it's not being spoofed, well, now it's just blocked. But the other thing is, no one else knows that's being used as a spam call number. So instead, what you want to do is go and download one of the spam call blocking and monitoring apps. And the one I'm using right now is Hiya, and it's H-I-Y-A. And you can download and use it for free on your iPhone. Once that's installed, you need to launch the app so your iPhone knows it can use it. And then you go over to settings on your iPhone and then go to phone and then choose call blocking and identification. And now you'll see that app listed as a app to block calls and filter the caller ID for you. Turn it on. And now what will happen is when a call comes in, that service is going to check the number. And if it's a spam caller, you can have it just tell it right on screen, hey, this is probably a spam caller. And you don't
have appealing to a blacklist that it maintains.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And then if you get a call that comes through that turns out to be a spammer, then you can use that app to report the number. And then it goes into the database and they do whatever it is that they're going to do to verify it so that if it's continued to be used for spoofing, then other people will see it come up on their screen tagged so they know that it's a spammer.
That's how you know how to access the original number that it's called from rather than the spoofed call ID?
No, because that's all you get to see is just the spoof number.
But at least it'll cut down on calls that are on the blacklist.
Yes. And what I found is that I went from, and I'm not kidding, multiple spam calls every day. Like the majority of calls I was getting every day were spammers. And then once I started using a spam blocker app, that has gone down to, I get a couple a month. And when they come in, I just automatically go ahead and report them back through the app, and I never see those numbers again.
Excellent. Well, this is something that I may explore some more. If I find out about any legislation or any other techniques, I will follow up to what you've done.
Sounds good. And the video that I made showing how you can set all this up, I'll have a link to that in the show notes. In the video, I used WhoCalls, which is perfectly fine. Right now, I'm using Hiya, And so that would be the only real difference in the video then versus if I made it now. It's just which service that you would see in the video. So whichever one you like, go ahead and use it and start blocking those spam calls.
Does this Hiya app have a high trustworthy factor because it does yes. kind of intervene in your...
Yeah, it's Hiya has a good enough reputation that when AT&T set up their own version of this, they're actually working with Hiya, and Hiya is their back end.
Good to know.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey, we're out of time. We need to wrap up. So, Brian, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having us, man. Good times. It's always fantastic to be pointing out how John is wrong.
I know. It just warms your heart, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
Yeah. John, thank you for being here as well.
Harumph, humph, humph, humph. See ya.
Yes. And care.com. Thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, care.com/TDO, and check out the services that they have so that the seniors and other loved ones in your life can get the care that they deserve at home instead of having to go into some other facility. It's a pretty awesome thing. Also, 30% off on your premium membership. Listeners, thank you for being here. We will see everyone tomorrow.
Super Glenn Blanchett.